Welcome to Workplace English Pod, a great way to improve your English on the go. Workplace English Pod is brought to you by Workplace English Training e-Platform, the Internet's largest business English resource for learners and teachers of business English. You can subscribe to Workplace English Training e-Platform at www.workplace-english-training.com and get access to podcast transcripts, study notes, interactive exercises, and thousands of additional resources in the training center.
Customer service communicating action. When a company moves to a new site, it is known as relocation. This is a big decision involving everyone connected with the company, staff, customers, suppliers, and shareholders. It also affects the families, friends, and communities of the people involved with the company. Once the research into possible locations has been completed, an organization must decide which location option is the most suitable, inform staff, and plan the next stages of the operation. After consulting staff about the options for relocation, a final decision has to be taken and everyone informed. A number of things then have to be done to organize the relocation, and for this, an action plan has to be drawn up. In this podcast lesson, you will practice expressing action points, summarizing information, and informing colleagues of plans. First, listen to an extract from a business meeting concerning what has been decided about relocating the company to another town called Bilton Oaks. Diana Riggs is chairing the meeting, and the extract begins with her speaking. An action plan is also discussed, which involves assigning specific tasks to the people attending the meeting.
Okay, we've seen the reports from the various meetings, so I suggest we summarize the main points that have been decided. Management has made the decision to move to Bilton Oaks. Our job is to put that decision into action. We'll need to work over Christmas, making sure everything's ready for the start date. Management has agreed to give all staff an extra 7 days leave for moving house any time from 1st of September. Now, we need to sort out a list of action points. I've made a list of tasks and people we need to contact. First thing is Christmas. I said we'd have to work over the holidays, so I'll talk to personnel and draw up a timetable of who needs to work on which days. Roger, you'll need to meet a couple of people and report back. First is a chap called Frank Staples at Shelton Petroleum.
Why am I seeing him?
Well, Shelton Petroleum moved to Bilton Oaks in 2005, and I'd like you to have a talk with them and see if we can learn anything from their experience.
Okay, what's his name?
Frank Staples.
Right.
The other meeting is with Jeff Bridge from Relox. Do we agree that we contact a consultant to advise on financial aspects of the move?
Oh, fine by me.
Good. So I want you to talk to Jeff about offering financial help to the staff, okay? Now, Peter, could you research staff opinion about the move? I'd like to know what help the company can give, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I've asked Jenny Fenton to arrange a visit to Bilton Oaks for everyone. We've decided to produce an information pack for everyone, so I'm going to talk to the publications department about content and design. Can we meet again later in the week and see how we're getting on?
Sure. What time suits you? Either Wednesday or Friday would be best for me.
Diana starts off the meeting by giving a summary of the decisions made so far. She introduces her summary by saying,
Okay, we've seen the reports from the various meetings, so I suggest we summarize the main points that have been decided.
She then makes a summary statement.
Management has made the decision to move to Bilton Oaks.
The verb made is always used with the noun decision. Make a decision. The phrase is then followed by the verb infinitive, so we can say,
We have made a decision to close the factory. The department head has made a decision to use a different supplier. They've made a decision to hire more sales staff.
Make a decision is often shortened to decided.
Management has decided to move to Bilton Oaks. We have decided to close the factory. the department head has decided to use a different supplier. They've decided to hire more sales staff.
Diana then tells her staff what the decision to relocate the company means to them. She makes another summary statement.
Our job is to put that decision into action.
In this sentence, the verb infinitive follows the auxiliary verb is or are. This creates a very certain statement. When communicating agreements, decisions and action points, you need to sound certain. It's important not to leave any doubt. Here are some other examples of communicating specific action points using is or are, followed by the verb infinitive.
Susan's job is to inform everyone about the move. Peter's main responsibility is to contact our key clients.
After summarizing what the team has to do, Diana provides further details.
We'll need to work over Christmas, making sure everything's ready for the start date.
Diana's style is direct and to the point. But when talking about a sensitive issue like working over Christmas, she could have rephrased this in a more sensitive way.
Management has requested that we all work over Christmas. We have been asked to work over Christmas. I'm afraid we don't have any other choice but to work over Christmas.
Diana then says,
Management has agreed to give all staff an extra 7 days leave for moving house any time from 1st of September.
The verb agree can be used in two ways, agree to or agree that. Notice the difference between these two sentences.
Management has agreed to increase the overtime rate. Management has agreed that the overtime rate should be increased.
Agree to is used when referring to decisions where some kind of consultation has taken place. The use of agree that doesn't indicate that any decision has been made. So, if agree to implies a decision, is there any difference in meaning between agreed to and decided to? Compare these two sentences.
Management has decided to give all staff an extra 7 days leave. Management has agreed to give all staff an extra 7 days leave.
By using decided to in the first sentence, it sounds like the staff were not consulted or involved in the decision. Using agreed to in the second sentence implies that a request was made to management and they are responding to the request and making a decision based on the request. After Diane has summarized the main decisions and informed the staff of what the management expects, she then turns to her action plan before assigning tasks to the staff. She says,
Now we need to sort out a list of action points.
Diana introduces the list of action points by saying,
First thing is,
Using sequence markers like this helps make clear what needs to be done and in what order. Other sequence markers commonly used include,
First of all, we need to, Next thing is to, After that, we have to, The last thing we need to do is,
When giving instructions to Roger, Diana says,
I'd like you to have a talk with them and see if we can learn anything from their experience.
The phrase I'd like you to is a direct request phrase and should only be used in a downward direction from a superior to a subordinate. Now, let's listen to the second dialogue. Premium Tours, a travel agency, is planning its summer publicity campaign. Susan Pond has missed a planning meeting. Her colleague, John Jenkins, phones her to tell what was decided and to explain her part in the preparation of the summer publicity campaign. Susan, it's John here. I'm ringing about the plans for the summer campaign.
Oh, hi, John. Go ahead.
Oh, can you take down a note of how the points that affect you, and I'll give you the full list later?
Sure.
Well, you're on the list for ordering stationery and finding out prices from the advertising agencies. Let me see. Here it is. Susan Pond to get quotes for advertising from agencies by April the 30th, okay? And the other job is to order the stationery, and that's it.
What's the deadline for the stationery order?
April 30th. They're both on the same day.
Okay, that's no problem. What's everybody else doing?
Well, I'm supervising the mailing. I'm making sure it all goes out on time, that sort of thing. William's going to write the press release, so we'll get in the papers. Tracy will get all the photos ready, and Vince is doing the mailing list. There's a meeting on May the 5th to check on progress.
All right, we'll talk before then. Thanks, John.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
John begins the conversation with a summary statement explaining the reason for his call.
I'm phoning about the plans for the summer campaign.
John might also have said,
I'm calling you to let you know what has been decided about the summer campaign.
The reason I'm phoning is to go over the plans for the summer campaign. He then asks,
can you take a note of the points that affect you and I'll give you the full list later?
John is letting Susan know that he's only going to talk about the points relevant to her. He then tells her,
you're on the list for ordering stationery and finding out prices.
Here, he's referring to the action point list in front of him. Reading from the list, he says,
Susan Pond to get quotes for advertising from agencies. To order stationery.
This is the way action point lists are written. The person's name is followed by the verb infinitive, as in these examples.
Paul Smith to contact all clients. Nancy Williamson to order new stationery. Bill Withers to liaise with telecoms.
But in speech, you'd usually try to express this more informally, using complete sentences.
Paul Smith's been asked to contact all clients. It's been decided that Nancy Williamson will order new stationery. Bill Withers was asked to liaise with telecoms. You've been asked to order stationery and get quotes for advertising from agencies.
Susan asks what the other staff members are doing.
What's everybody else doing?
John replies,
I'm supervising the mailing.
And later says,
Vince is doing the mailing lists.
In this context, the present continuous tense, am supervising and is doing, is commonly used to talk about future intentions. Here are some other examples.
Peter's informing our clients about the move. Veronica is dealing with staffing issues. Chris is liaising with the telecoms.
John also uses going to talk about future intentions.
William's going to write the press release.
And he uses the future simple.
Tracy will get all the photos ready.
So, in a matter of a couple of sentences, John uses the present continuous, future simple, and going to talk about the future. Why doesn't he just use the same construction? Well, it's all about trying to sound interesting. The great thing about the English language is that there are many different ways of saying the same thing. If we use the same constructions all the time, we might start to sound a little boring.
You can subscribe online at www.workplace-english-training.com.